This is Alan Nathan of Radio America sitting in for Greg Corumbus and reporting for WorldNet Daily. House Democrats are trying to pass the president's health care reform bill following the Senate Health Committee's approval of similarly broad-sweeping legislation. Whether or not it passes the full Senate vote is more difficult to guess because of the $1.6 trillion price tag. Concerns over rationing health care and the public option, which is seen as anti-competitive because the government doesn't have to perform with a profit ratio to survive. We have on board with us today Bob Wiener, former chief of staff for both the House Aging Committee and Subcommittee on Health and Long-Term Care. He's also a former senior Clinton White House staffer. Bob Wiener, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Alan, but those numbers that you're saying are somewhat fraudulent themselves, because the $1.6 trillion that it might cost, as Charlie Rangel said yesterday, don't take into account the $2 trillion that are in savings that CBO does not score.
Well, CBO is regarded as the most nonpartisan entity to ever assess these things.
Absolutely, but they do not take the American consumer savings into account. They only do government savings. So they don't take into account that health care premiums have doubled in the last 8 years. They are five times the regular cost of inflation. The fact that the hospitals, the doctors, and the pharmaceutical associations are the hugest special interest groups that are stopping the American people from getting the health care they need.
I guess they're trying to quantify it with numbers that they can empirically verify versus those that they would otherwise simply project.
But I tell you,
let me get onto something else. The price tag is expected to provide more obstacles in the Senate than the House. However, even in the House, Blue Dog Democrats on the Energy and Commerce Committee, one of the three committees tasked with advancing the bill, is opposing it and have enough votes to block it. Will they do so, or will their concerns be satisfied?
Well, actually, Steny Hoyer, who is a leader of the Blue Dogs and is the House Majority Leader, said that the Blue Dogs do want a bill. There is no one in the caucus that doesn't want to move forward with a health bill. The House will pass a health bill because, as Health Secretary, HHS Secretary, said, Kathleen Sebelius said on Jon Stewart last night, everyone wants to believe we have the best health care in the world. We don't. We spend twice as much, and we are sicker and die sooner with the 41st and 43rd infant mortality and life expectancy in the world. Our best health care is a myth destroyed by our own special interests that are stopping national health insurance, unlike what every other country has.
It's been said that we have the best health care science, which is very different than having the best health care system.
That's true.
But be that as it may, it's the rationing of health care that has so many folks concerned. The Blue Dogs have a bigger concern. They're along the lines of getting changes to protect small businesses and health care providers in the more rural states. Both Fox News and the Associated Press have reported that Representative Mike Ross, Democrat from the great state of Arkansas, insists that they, quote, cannot support the current bill, unquote. Now, what can be done to assuage him and his brethren Blue Dogs that small business and rural providers won't be subjected to unfair competition? Again, Uncle Sam does not have to show a profit and can always offer a cheaper deal than current providers.
For starters, they could read the bill. 96% of small businesses will benefit from this legislation, and only those that are making more than $350,000 will have to jump in and assure that they provide the health care under the plan of the bill. So if they read the legislation instead of going on the sound bites and the special interest opposition, where you have people like Rick Scott, who was from the company Columbia HCA, which pled guilty to 14 felonies and is leading the national advertising against this bill, despite the fact that they had the largest fraud settlement in America, $1.7 billion, the people who are opposing this bill might actually do what's necessary for the American people instead of their own pockets.
Well, what's a gauge for one thing might not necessarily be a measure for something else. Mr. Ross, again, a Democrat, does serve on this very important committee that will have disproportionate sway as to whether or not it's successful. But speaking of whether or not these representatives are reading the bills, quick side note, what do you think of House Minority Leader John Boehner's suggestion, actually demand, that representatives actually begin reading the bills and allow the American people 72 hours to go over some of it themselves before a vote is ever cast?
I don't oppose that, but the clock has started ticking, so they ought to start reading, and it's going to be a lot more than 72 hours until we pass this thing in maybe August.
Other differences are piquing the interests of many. When President George W. Bush signed into law the prescription drug benefit package, it wound up reducing drug costs by like 40% and is really approved of by 80% of its participants. They genuinely love it. However, in that effort, the government has been more of an overseer of a plan now carried out by the private sector. This legislation would have the government very much more involved. Do you see the government's public option component as the most vulnerable components of this legislation? And if so, will its support likely will its supporters likely concede that in order to have something to place on the president's desk?
Well, actually, the drug benefit hole, what they call the donut, is being plugged by the pharmaceutical companies who agreed with President Obama to support the legislation's efforts to actually expand the drug benefit. That's one of the good things, is that President Obama has negotiated with the AMA, the hospitals, and the drug companies to try to bring them aboard, and it may be impossible, and we may have to do the votes without their support, but we are trying very hard, and that drug donut hole is going to be plugged in the new bill.
What about the issue of health rationing? There's a concern that the elderly might have less than exemplary care when facing dire health challenges in order to allocate more resources to the young coming up against equally life-threatening forces. How do you see that panning out?
Well, I love what Jon Stewart did last night, where he had saws in people's hair, and he had literally body parts hanging out of their back to show how ludicrous that argument is. It's just a totally false misnomer that doesn't happen in the other countries that have national health insurance. And the public option that you discussed is really an important one, so that the health insurance industries, which have made a total of over $100 billion in the first quarter this past year and aren't hurting, so they could compete with the public sector and maybe learn to do a little better. They like to say government can't do anything, except that they're so afraid of the fact that government can do it well that they don't want to compete with it.
Additionally, another popular reference on behalf of those supporting this health care reform legislation is that we have 47 million people who are simply uninsured. But when we take a closer look, we find that 12 million of those folks come from the illegal immigrant community, while another 10 million come from the community of youth, folks who are perfectly healthy and have just decided that they don't wish to yet enter such a program. So would you agree that perhaps it's a little misrepresenting to have the 47 million number touted when, in fact, only about 25 million of them are genuinely without health care?
I think you raise a valid point about the illegal immigrants and what benefits they should be entitled to under U.S. Constitution and law and the limits of the public purse. However, the benefits of this bill, they are not going to be able to cover 100%. I understand that it's now going to cover anywhere from a third to two-thirds of the people. You can't force people unless you have a mandate, and that's one of the discussions, like the families who have those youth who don't have the benefits, to have the benefits. But at the same time, you got to try, Alan. You got to try to do the right thing. And the right thing is to say that health care in America should be for every citizen who needs it, not for only those who can afford it.
Then shouldn't that observation be more commensurate with the hitherto referenced numbers? Again, only 25 million of the 47 million can be defined as legitimately without health care.
Well, it's not just the 47 million number, of which you have a point that maybe half of those really are ones that need and should have and will get under the plan the health insurance. It's the ones who insurance companies are blocking because they have pre-existing conditions, and the ones that insurance companies just try every which way they can not to give insurance to. That is an outrage.
Anyway, Bob, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate that.
What a pleasure, Alan.
This is Alan Nathan of Radio America sitting in for Greg Corumbus and again reporting for WorldNet Daily.